This week's parsha is Truma, and we now begin the series of almost five parshios that deal just about exclusively with the building and the construction and all the details associated with the Mishkan. We've talked in the past about more global issues as to why was the Mishkan constructed, what its purpose was, what took place within the Mishkan. The famous question of placement: when did the Mishkan, when were the Jews instructed to build the Mishkan? Before the Golden Calf? After the Golden Calf? What I want to do this week is just focus on just a few words, just one small detail within the Mishkan, and to see if it's significant or not. One of the things that's interesting when you do go through these parshios is the various Mefarshim. To what extent do they focus on the details? Some of them focus more on larger global issues, the messages of the Mishkan, but don't necessarily focus on all the every last very detail, exactly the menorah, how it was made, the different knobs, and how, why there's seven branches, not eight branches, and seven, six branches. And then there's some Mefarshim that very much spent a lot of time focusing on the other details. One of them, which I'll quote in a little bit, that spends a lot of time on the Mishkan and all its particulars and details is Rav Hirsch. And so it's interesting, again, some will focus on more details than others. The one little detail that I just want to highlight is towards the very beginning of the parsha, where the first thing it discusses is the Aron, the Ark. And we're told that the Ark, similar to some of the other vessels, had bataba'os, that there were bataba'os ha'aron yu abadim, that inside the attached to the side of the kli of the vessel there were these rings, and inside the rings there were these poles, and the poles were used to carry these articles, right? That they had to travel with the various kelim throughout the desert. And therefore, the Mizbeach Hachitzon, the outer and the inner altar, as well as the menorah and the shulchan, they had these other different again these little rings where you put these staves in, these poles in, that would help the people Levium carry the kelim. So the Aron was no different. It had these poles as well. But what is unique about the Aron, about the Ark, is the following. This is right at the beginning. This is in Perek Chafei, Pasuk Tesvav. Lo yasuru mimenu. And when it comes to these particular poles, one would think that they were only used when they traveled. But as soon as they set up camp and they set up the Mishkan, you then would take out the poles. You put them in storage until the next time they would be needed. And apparently, that's what took place when it came to the other kelim, the other vessels, but not so the Aron, not so the Ark, because the pasuk says, "Lo yasturu mimenu," that they shall not be removed. Right? You're not allowed to remove them. And Rashi quotes a Gemara in the Maseches Yuma, and Daf Ayin Beis and Aleph. Rashi quotes one word, "Lo yasturu mimenu li'olam." Forever, can never be removed, these poles. These poles have to remain there at all time. And of course, the question is why? Right? Why do these poles have to remain? What's the function, the purpose? Again, on the surface, they're just for carrying the ark. Once I put the ark down, I can then take them out. And yet, it says has to remain forever. So I want to first quote that Gemara that Rashi cites. The Gemara says a little bit more. And Rashi just quotes that one word, that forever they can never be removed. But the Gemara says the following. And this is Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph in Maseches Yuma. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Ksiv, Bataba'os Aron, Yu Abadim, Lo Yasur Mimeno. Right? The pasuk says you should never remove the poles. So Ksiv, but there's another pasuk that says, Uvas Badav Bataba'os, and its poles shall be inserted in the rings. Right, so that's another pasuk that actually is a whole discussion. Tosas here says that he's unclear why that pasuk is quoted. Seems to be another pasuk that should have been quoted as a pasuk in our parsha. But bottom line is that the pasuk seems to say that you should put the poles inside the ark. So haketzad. So did you put them in or were they left in? So the Gemara answers something very strange, unusual. Misparkin ve'eino nishmatim. They were loose, but they didn't come out. In other words, they could sort of move around a little bit, but you couldn't easily pull them out. Tani nami hachi, the Gemara quotes a brisa, atabos aron yu abadim, yachol lo yu zazim komam, you might think they can never move. Tamalomar vuvabadav atabos, ivu vasbadav, yachol yu nechnasim v'yotzim, tamalomar atabos aron yu abadim, haketzad spark in nishmatim. They were loose, but they did not come entirely out. They did not come entirely out. And Rashi says, how did this work practically? Rashi says, "Roshayim hayu avim, v'hichnis roshon echad b'dochak b'tabas, v'emson hayu dakim, hilkach loyu ninchakim b'tabos al mesparkin v'holchem l'kan l'kan." What does that mean? That they were wide on the outside and they were thin on the inside. So in order to get them in, it required a lot of force to push it into those through those rings. And once it was in, it was very hard to get them out. They could move around a little bit because of the middle part was very narrow, but the outer parts were so much thicker, and therefore it was much more difficult to remove them. So that's something unusual, right? Something question is why? You know, why were they like that? So I'm going to come back to that in a moment. But that's the first piece of evidence that we have. Now, there also is another Gemara earlier, Maseches Yuma, that also talks about these poles. And it says the following. This is on Daf Nun Dalad Amin Aleph. Again, also Maseches Yuma. Yehuda Rami. Yehuda quoted a contradiction. Ksiv vayiru roshei abadim. There's a pasuk, and this is in Sefer Melachim, where it talks about the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, where it says that you could actually see the tips of the poles from the Kodesh HaKadosh. And we know that the Aron was tucked away, it was hidden. Couldn't see the Ark. The Ark was behind the curtain, right? Behind the Paroches. No one ever saw the Ark, right? So unusual, so strange that it was like the most holy of items, of vessels. It contained the Luchos on top of the Kruvim, the angelic figures. And so you would think like it would be out in display. Everyone should see this holy, beautiful plea vessel. And yet the answer is no. No one saw it, right? Except for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, who entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the truth of the matter is, the Gemara says awesome sacrifice of human. Even he didn't really see it, because when he would enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would bring in the ketores and the incense, and he would light it. And it would smoke, so he couldn't really see the ark even when he entered into the Kodesh HaKadosh. So it would be there, but you wouldn't see it. However, the pasuk says here in Sefer Melachim, but these poles that again that we see in our parsha that were always attached to the ark, they actually protruded a little bit. They actually they rubbed up against the curtain, and if you were standing in the Kodesh, in the area of the Mishkan, or the Beis HaMikdash, where the menorah and the shulchan and the Mizbeach HaPnimi and the inner altar were, you would actually see these two poles sort of protruding out a little bit. You wouldn't see the poles themselves, but you'd see the curtain sort of sticking out in these two areas where the poles were rubbing up against it. Okay, at the same time, but now here the Gemara says, "Uksiv lo yuch achutza." But it's also written that they were not showing. So haketsa near and vein near, and they were seen, but they weren't seen. In other words, you didn't actually see the poles, but you saw that you'd see the curtain again sticking out in those two places where they were touching the curtain. Tainami hachi v'yu roshei abadim yachol lo yuzazim imkomam tamlo v'yachol abadim yachol mikarim baroches v'yotzen. So again, so here first it talks about, again, the fact that they would slide a little bit. They would always be in place. And then the question is, did the poles tear through the parochas? Did they actually protrude to the other side? No, you couldn't see it. Right? They would push up against the parokas. So we have these very usual Gemaras about these poles. Like they seem to be very significant, these poles. That number one, again, the Torah itself says that they were always attached to the ark, never ever to be removed, even when they were stationary, when the Jews weren't moving. And then we've seen this interesting Gemara that it can move around a little bit, could slide a little bit, but it can never really come out of its rings. Now this other idea that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where you wouldn't even see the ark, the one thing you would see if you were staying in the Kodesh, you could see these two little protrusions into the parochas, because that's where the poles would actually touch and sort of rub against the parochas. And then the question, like, what's the significance of all this? Like, why is this important? Why is this so critical? So I saw some of the portion talk about this. I saw the Netziv as it talks about this, and the Malbim, and others. I wanted to read to you Refersh. Refersh has a very nice piece about this. And I'm going to come back to the Gemara. It says one more very fascinating idea. Says Refersh, these were not simply means for transport, right? These poles, which would be only necessary when carrying the ark from one place to another. But yet the Torah says they were never to be allowed to be separated from the ark. Lo yasu mimenu. And in fact, the Gemara even says, I didn't quote this point, the Gemara says, if anyone would remove the poles, it actually is a lav. It's a negative commandment, and you would get malchus, right? Lashes. It's like you get malchus for many, violating many negative commandments. This too would be a negative commandment to remove these poles. So it continues with Hirsch, they belonged essentially to that which the ark represented symbolically. Then I'll skip a few lines. Right, the Ketosis even talks about maybe there were two sets of poles. Ketosis has another pasuk that seems to imply that maybe it did come out. So Ketosis has this interesting suggestion in the Gemara Yuma that maybe there are two sets, one that was removed, but again, another one that was always there. Okay, then he says the following. The Badim, the means of carrying the ark, symbolically represent the command and the mission to carry the ark and its contents, if it becomes necessary, away from the precincts of its present position. The command that these means of transport may never be lacking is to emphasize in our minds the fact that from the very beginning it must be made clear that this Torah and its mission is in no way bound or confined to the place or existence at any time of the temple or sanctuary. So suggest the first, the reason why the poles always have to be there is because at any moment you may have to take the ark with you. All right? It could be that you're under attack and you're in danger. And the takeaway is that by taking away the ark, what you're doing is you're taking the Torah with you. That the Torah is never confined to one location, but it's present and it's a part of us wherever we may we go. Some suggest that's why the Torah was given in Har Sinai in the desert, to symbolize that, you know, the Torah is anywhere. But even if you're in the middle of the desert, the Torah is relevant, and the Torah is a part of us. And so the message here is that although there's center in the camp of the Jewish people, or in later Yerushalayim, the Beis Hamikdash, where we're going to come to bring sacrifices, and we feel this closeness to Hashem, but that doesn't mean that the only time we are close to Hashem is in the Beis Hamikdash. But rather, God is a part of our lives anywhere, wherever we live, now, whether we're living in Israel, or even, you know, in times that, God forbid, we have to go out and off into exile, God is with us. And here are the message, and that the Torah is with us. The Torah is relevant, that we're bound to observe the Torah, to embrace the values of the Torah, no matter where we are. And the poles are there to that on a moment's notice, we take the Torah with us wherever we go. And I would add also that we know that the ark was taken out when the Jewish people went off to war, right? The ark would lead the Jews into war, and it was a similar, like, you would never know when you would have to go, and therefore the poles always had to be ready at any moment. At any moment, you had to be ready to go, and you and the notion is again that God is going to be with you wherever you are, and even when you have to run, you're always going to bring Hashem with you. Again, it's not the first suggestion why the poles are there. Some of the Forsham suggest that very beautifully that it's that what ultimately carries us, it's the Torah that carries us. We know that the Chazal have a tradition, rabbis have a tradition that though the ark had poles, but really the ark carried the people, right? The people didn't really carry it; the ark sort of carried them. And again, it's the message that the Torah carries us. It's the Torah. You know, what's contained within the ark, the message within the ark, is what carries us in our lives and allows us to thrive and to connect to Hashem. I want to add one additional point, one additional takeaway, and that is the question is, why do they have to stick out a little bit? Why do they have to stick out a little bit? So it could be that the Jewish people, right, you wouldn't really see, you would never see the ark. And perhaps on some level, what it symbolizes is this tension that we have in our lives in terms of seeing Hashem and feeling Hashem's presence. That often in our lives, right, we don't see Hashem, right? We don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we know Hashem is there. We know Hashem is present. And there are some times when we may feel a distance from Hashem from time to time in our life. And yet there could also at the same time maybe glimpses of where we are able to perceive that Hashem is there. Even if it's faint, even just against a slight protrusion, we can still see that Hashem is there. In our life, and so perhaps that is the symbolism of the our own sort of being hidden away from us. That we human beings we can't at all relate to Hashem. Hashem is so beyond human comprehension. We know the greatness of God. We know that it's the Holy of Holies, and yet we can't fully perceive that and recognize that. But we can have little glimpses of Hashem, and how do we get those glimpses of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So we get those glimpses through us attaching ourselves to the Torah, and us observing the Torah. Sometimes, perhaps, so someone say this. We mentioned before that the Kohen Gadol, he would enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Kohen Gadol, who represents people in our lives and in the Jewish community, the holy people, Tamini Chachamim and Tzaddikim. So sometimes through them, we're able to get a glimpse of Hashem, right? Through their devotion and their commitment, that we're able to connect to Hashem. And then there's one more way they were able to connect to Hashem. Again, it's a tension between knowing that Hashem is there, but not always seeing Hashem, not always being able to relate or to connect, and sometimes feeling a distance. So the Gemara says one more beautiful thing about the Aron. Fascinating. I'm not sure how well known this is. So again, the Ark is hidden. It's behind the curtain, so you don't see it. Again, even the Kohen Gadol really doesn't see it. All you have those little protrusions and the Kohen Gadol going in on Yom Kippur, but even the smoke being there and the cloud, you can't even see the ark. But one major exception to this, says the Gemara. Amar of Katina, this is the Gemara in Yuman, Daf Nundaud, I'm an Aleph. Bishosha Yisrael Olam L'Regel, fascinating Gemara. When the Jews would be Olam L'Regel, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, when they would go to Yerushalayim and go to the Beis HaMikdash, right? And the Jews would enter into the Beis HaMikdash, because they would be bringing their korbanos, right, on their korban Pesach or on erev Pesach and their shame chagiga, various sacrifices that they would bring, and then that would be the food they would eat on the yantif. So they all be the everyone would be in the base of Migdash. And you know what happened? Umar lam es sakruvim shoyim orim zebazeh. What happened is megolim lam es aparochas. The kohanim, they would actually Like in shul, when you the strings, you pull the parochas, to open the Aron Kodesh, they would open the parochas. They would pull it all the way to the side. And what would happen is the people would be able to look in and they could see the ark. They actually would be able to see the ark, says the Gemara. And they would see the Kruvim on top of the ark that appears if they're embracing one another, which is symbolic of the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people. But Omen Lehem and the Kohanim would tell the Jewish people as they were looking at this incredible sight, the Kohanim would say, Uchi Baschem Lefnei HaMakom, behold the fondness, how much God loves you. Like a husband and wife who are embracing one another, that's like the love that Hashem has for you. So what emerges, again, it's a fascinating Gemara, but what emerges is that there was a time for the Jews to see the ark. And there are moments, perhaps, in our lives where we are able to feel a very strong, close connection to Hashem. Whether it's on a Shabbos or a Yontif, or whether it's at a moment in a life of some great simcha that we're experiencing, some salvation, or whatever it may be, there are moments when we do see the ark. There are moments when we are able to see the poles, even so faint, to emerge. And the question is, are you able to grasp onto that, and that can carry you through those moments when there's more of a when it's more clouded, when Hashem seems more distant, when there's moments of confusion and even pain and suffering, can you still sort of grasp on to those moments when you felt so close and you felt such a connection to Hashem and to the Torah that is symbolized and that is housed within the Aron. And therefore, I think what emerges here is something very powerful about these poles. These poles, lo yasumi menu, they can never be removed. And it highlights our connection to the Torah, that it always has, that it's always there. It's always present. And no matter where we are, physically, no matter where we are, whether we're traveling, we're on vacation, or whether we're, God forbid, we're in exile, or no matter where we are in terms of emotionally, no matter where we are, or where we are spiritually, we can always grasp on to those poles. And there are going to be moments when they're going to be very visible to us and very, very real. And it's going to be relatively easy for us to feel that embrace. And there's going to be other times where it's going to be a little bit more difficult and challenging, but the poles are always there. They're always present. And if we search, and if we look, we can see that a little protrusion. We can see that they're sticking out and they're beckoning us to come close. And that if we do come close and we do embrace it, it's ultimately what's going to carry us through those challenging times or those moments of confusion and doubt. It's our connection to God and connection to Hashem's Torah. Right? It's the Aron that carries the people, that carries the Levium, who escorted the ark, and it's the Torah that carries each of us as Jews. And so here you have an example of a very small, minor detail that's found within our parsha, and yet the symbolism and the message was so powerful. And you can imagine anyone who did enter into that Kodesh. Certainly, if you're there in Rosh Hashanah, if you're there at Sukkot, Pesach, and Shavuos, you saw the ark in its entirety. But even if you were there at some other moment, you saw something sticking out. And you knew Hashem was with you. You knew that Hashem was beckoning you, and you knew if you were to grab, if you could symbolically grab hold to those poles, so that would allow you, enable you to create a connection with Hashem, feel a closeness, but hopefully encourage you to observe the Torah and to embrace the Torah. Hopefully, then Hashem and then Hashem's Torah would carry us. Through all stages of our lives. Okay, wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos.